Kid Rock. Tired of you always being mad and pissed off. They saying, man, y'all cool. I'm at a stage of life like Pablo. Over the handouts, know me, I'm sick of friends like Bishop. Some days I feel like Draymond when he got tripped up. I ought to go nuts. Dress for success and the platinum gold tux in the White House, thinking we gon' be alright all night with the POTUS. Yeah, and so I sat down, wrote a hallmark, a couple lines to touch your feelings dead at wall art. Some days I feel like three stacks up at that altar. International player like DeRozan, I can ball hard. Real friends always pick up where they left off. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm somewhere in the ballpark. Yeah, catching all the flies when niggas wanna pop up when you popping and wanna ride, right? Dog, that's why I seldom join the convo. I can't share a word if I don't listen to they combos. Then pop, 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 I hit the block and rock them with a combo. A little pop, little rock, little neo soul and bongo, yeah. Y'all like neighbors with the blinds closed. I see you watching, bruh, bruh. I'm like Neo when the time froze. Jordan in the ISO. Love me, I'm your idol. I turn your whole world upside down. You look like Will Myers. It's a stranger thing how Prince left. Still contemplating my next step. They saying, knowing I'ma fly like doves. Y'all cry like doves. You mad cause we don't show y'all love? For us, by us, a line saying with a shoulder shrug. Becoming a master of not giving a fuck. Somewhere drinking the reason up, the season of the cup. Spoon feeding y'all, the illest is us. Jam rock. Like tiptoe fife, most toe rap, Kobe toe ball. I'ma tell all y'all, I'm gonna. Like Martin told Tommy, Frank told the tits and punanis. Look, girl, I don't know if he gon'. Like Vine, I'm repeating it. That fake beef y'all talking, we don't believe in it. The real you that is, I don't know who all of you actors is. Look, homie, I'ma. Be happy with yourself first. Can't be coerced to needing leathers and purses. When you priceless, that's worthless. I'ma spit the shit to baptize the Christians and all the churches and those who no longer virgins. I'ma.
No jibber jabber.
I'll be your keeper of the book and I'm just for writing. I'll be your keeper of the book and I'm just for writing. I'll be your keeper of the book and I'm just for writing.
Check it out now.
Hold up, Shane. Shit is ill, kid.
Know what I'm saying? Being that we living a motherfucking strife life.
You know what happened the other day, right?
It's only right.
We put you on to what happened, son. You ain't gonna believe this shit.
It's just another day. Drowning my troubles with a 40. That's when I got the call from this brown skin shorty. She asked me where's my crew at. Said we could do whatever. She got a crew too and said that we should get together. I said, alright, just call me back in an hour so I can take a shower and gather up the manpower. Then I hung up the horn and I thought to myself that it might be on. Cause this trick ain't pick up the phone and call me in years. Ever since I left the hole lonely in tears, ain't no telling what her friends putting up in the ears. Ideas are setting me up, I'm not trying to hear. Check it out, so we
take the gas for precaution. What up?
What up, what up?
Nine elements, one culture. We're back in tune with the sounds of Keepers of the Funk. I'm Illy.
I'm Ghost. What's happening?
What's up? What's up, man? Yeah, no J Mills today. And you're probably thinking, well, damn, he just got back, but, nah, he'll be back. He's just, working overnight, and, of course, it's West Coast time, so we're doing this kind of early in the morning. Down here in the basement, he is knocked out. He's not awake, so. Not this time, probably next time. Hell nah. Oh shit.
Remember that shit from the cartoons and
yeah,
games?
Man, the two-headed monster.
Yeah. Sesame Street and shit. It would be funny, you know, or like they'll have the little something like they'll have like a napkin or a handkerchief over their face, and when they blow out, it blows up in the air and they drop back on their face.
Or blowing a big bubble.
Right.
Snot bubble and it pops. man, now we go. Like snot.
Yeah. What up, dude?
Oh, shit. Man. So, yeah, he'll be back on the show shortly. But, yeah, he's not with us tonight.
What up, today.
Yeah, man. I guess with this show, I guess we're a day behind the unfortunate Prodigy news, man.
Yeah, rest in peace, man. A shocker, man. It's just... this is like I was saying, you know, briefly pre-recorded. It was just that, you know, it's surprising and not surprising at the same time, based on the fact that, you know, we already knew he was dealing with this, you know, a lifelong medical condition. And,
right,
you know, we also know that the medical condition has no cure. And we've, you know, all heard of his multiple battles and hospital visits and things of that nature. But it's just like one of those things, like Fife, man. It's like, again, his lifelong situation. Both of them, they fighting it lifelong, having, you know, multiple hospital visits on and off tour. But they were making it through. They were fighting it. Again, you know, just changing their lifestyle, their eating habits, things of that nature. And it's just, it's a shame, you know. It's one of those things that, you know, it finally catches up with you, but...
Yeah, man.
It's still a shock because you didn't expect it. Because, I mean, we just seen him in the AZ video. So it was like, and, you know, we looking like, okay, you know, he look healthy. Everything look good. You know, he's, you know, whatever. He's fine. But shit, it's just, it's shocking, man. You know.
Yeah. There's just so much I really don't know or understand about. I mean, I'm familiar with it somewhat, but not, I don't understand it on that level.
Right.
To know, like, I mean, what life expectancy is, or if there's a way to really manage it for too long. But, I mean, I remember back in the early 2000s when he was talking about how he changed this. Matter of fact, he is the reason why, I mean, they're both on the same label too, so it made it easier. But on the Dead Prez, on that album, they had that song called Be Healthy.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, he's actually doing the afterword talking about that, because he had changed a lot of his diet and lifestyle, whatever, mm-hmm. to manage the disease.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite Dead Prez albums, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's kind of the only one, man, because after that, they kind of lost their direction.
Yeah, but I kind of like the Rebel Radio stuff, that Revolutionary But Black. I like them joints. I mean, they weren't considered albums, but they were albums, because they're unofficial. They were mixtapes, but they were done like albums. They were, I thought they were good. So
they're cool, but, I mean, it doesn't compare to that first one,
though. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they were still, you know, projects that I had and I bumped, you know what I mean? So, because I fucked with Dead Prez, so.
Yeah, I got him too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, beside the point. But yeah, he does the afterword on that song because of that exactly.
Right.
And just you know, I guess, I mean, you pretty much said it already. I mean, it's surprising just because we didn't know how long or didn't figure so soon. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you knew he'd been battling for a long time, so.
Right.
It was a matter of time, but just really unfortunate to hear.
Rest in peace. Shout out to his family, too, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Mob. I mean, I haven't checked for Mob in a minute as a group, just because, I mean, they were still putting out stuff, and it's all right. But their solo work on the side, you know, Havoc stuff, that Silent Partner album he had with Alchemist last year.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigy has a few other solo albums and little independent mixtapes and stuff that he's been putting out over the years. So it's always been decent stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, I always check for him, just because it's Mob. You know what I mean? And then it was funny because not trying to be like, sounds crazy. It's just weird how shit works out. You know, that's how I believe in energies and things of that nature. But you know, when I ride to work, I keep my Spotify on shuffle. You know, and I was in anybody that uses Spotify, you know, if you've had it for a while, they got this shit called Daily Mixes, where they take a lot of your shit that you've listened, that you have in your own libraries, mixed in whatever, and you shit that you may listen to a lot. And they take all that shit and shuffle it up, you know, joints between different albums and put it on a list. And, you know, they had Shook Ones in one of the lists. And I didn't know. I just had it on shuffle. I'm riding to work. And then all of a sudden it came on, and I had just got the fucking message not long before. I was like, damn, you know. It's like, that's crazy how they just came up in the shit, you know, right after this. Because I hadn't heard Shook Ones or anything Mob related in about a couple weeks, you know, up to that point. You know, again, on shuffle, I heard Getaway and Out of Control remix, you know, on one of the shuffles. And then Getaway used to be my shit, too. And then it's just crazy, man. You know, again, rest in peace, man. It's hard to find words when shit like this happens, man. It's just...
Yeah, man. And then I guess not quite on the same level, but locally, just within hours of hearing about Prodigy, all of a sudden we hear that Sister Rose is closing its doors.
It's a big staple in the St. Louis community down in the area called the Delmore Loop. For people that don't know, people that are from the St. Louis area or are familiar with St. Louis one way or the other, you may know of the Loop area. It's a kind of a more culturally open area of the city. But all through that, since the early mid 70s, Cicero's has been around, been a major staple restaurant, concert hall. I mean, just a spot that, you know, people always counted on for, you know, to go to a place to chill, entertainment, get something to eat, you know, take a date, yeah. You know, all that, you know, whatever you want to do, family, you know, it didn't matter. You know, you can cover all bases in that place, you know, man.
Yeah, man. Pizza was famous. Their beer selection.
They've been in the beer school.
The bottles and tap.
Yeah.
All that stuff. They were famous for that. Been around for like at least 40 years or more.
Survived a big fire, you know.
Came back strong. In the
90s. Yeah, came back strong from that. So it's a shame. I know I heard the original owner had died sometime last year and his kids were running the spot since. But just to hear, you know, first it was closing of the booking of the shows and then being updated to this to where they're just saying it's just going to close down all the way. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, they're closing down Sunday, man. So we're recording this on a Wednesday morning. So in a few days, they'll be closing for good on Sunday.
Let me see if I can slide.
We're gonna try to
there.
Get down there.
Yeah,
tonight, tomorrow,
slide
man.
Down yeah. there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just one more time, but you know, so damn. I mean, again, not the same level of news, but just two kind of bad stories right back to back for us right there.
Right.
But,
damn.
Yeah. So I guess we said our piece on that. So, what are we talking about today, man?
Man, the topic today: female MCs. I don't know if we've mentioned female MCs in other shows. We haven't had an actual topic strictly dedicated to them, so I thought it was high time.
There's plenty
of dope ones out there, man. You know, they don't get enough love, you know. I don't know feminist shit, just, you know, on some straight MC shit, you know what I mean? There's some straight up dope MCs who happen to be female, who are out there and don't get love because they happen to be female. Or not the love that they should, let me be more specific. So.
Nah, exactly, you know, and not on this show, because, I mean, a couple of things. Well, number one, no, we haven't done a show specifically dedicated to female MCs, but every time when we give our recommendations at the end, you know, you'll hear us mention females. Just in the course of conversation, we have always brought up, you know, female rappers. Because to us, I mean, I know me and you specifically, there really is no difference, you know.
No.
I mean, there's a difference, but not on that level, because, I mean, I like that we came up through the era to where there really wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Where you had, you know, you were still gonna, any given time on the radio or the TV, you were gonna see Salt and Pepper, you were gonna see MC Light, Latifah,
Moni Love,
you know, Moni Love, Oaktown 357, even, you know, to go, Body and Soul, Sweet Tea, you were gonna see all of that. And so to me, it was just music, you know what I'm saying? And just like with any music, JJ Fad.
Man.
You know, and just like any music where you have men and women who both make the music. But I feel like, you know, R&B and country music, I mean, I don't listen to country, but I'm, you know, I hear about enough artists to where I hear about just as many women as I do men. So I guess it's not a problem there or in R&B, but it seems like with rock and roll and in hip hop is dominated by men. So especially now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but it's always been that way. But
it has, but to the point where it's very rare you're going to hear from more than, I mean, if it ain't Nicki Minaj, you're probably not going to hear another woman, another female rapper on the radio.
And here's the thing, too. I liken female MCs to female basketball players, where, you know, you might not get the power moves, you know, the super dunks and all that shit, but you get the more technique, noticing the dedication to the craft, you know what I mean, with certain female MCs because they got to cover more bases, you know what I'm saying, especially in the 90s where they had to be not only project this certain image as a female, but also they had to have dope rhymes. They couldn't just be whack either. Other words, they didn't get too far. I mean, even ones that were calling themselves first ladies of groups, you know, they didn't really get too far if they weren't dope. They might have get lucky, have a song here and there. Vita is an example, you know, but then they kind of fade out. You know what I mean? She had her little moment in Belly. She had her little, you know, one song, but then, you know. So it's Emil the same way, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, she heard the same way, but I also,
I'm just saying, as far as, you know, female
was whack.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, just saying, you know.
At least with the Vita example, I mean, she could. I thought she could at least hold her own. She never got the, she never got the support. You know, once she tried to go solo. Or,
yeah, she was,
know,
definitely a better MC than Emil. I mean, that's for sure. You know, or at least she was better at rhyming. I don't know if she was writing her rhymes, but if she was, she was definitely better than Emil. But, you know, at least
Emil,
you know,
seemed very token to me.
Yeah, straight up. But but yeah, man. I mean, there's plenty of dope ones that have come through, have come through the gamut, man. I mean, from Queen, Lauren, Kim. The thing about Kim too is that, you know, in my opinion, you know, she kind of debunked the whole rumor about her not rhyming her own rhymes or big rhyming or shit. Even if he was helping her, she was still writing afterwards because her style didn't really change all that much to where it was like, oh, it was obvious. You know what I'm saying? That Big was writing her shit. So it was like he may have been helping her, but she was definitely putting pen to paper. You know what I mean? Because she still had dope shit on her own after that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know, Kim was an MC. You know what I mean? And really, Nicki can rhyme. You know what I'm saying? Even before the Nicki Minaj we know today, back in like 07, 08, when she was still doing them like Smack DVD style freestyles and shit like that, where you see her somewhere in New York rhyming or whatever, she was getting off then, you know? So she could rhyme, but it's just...
Yeah, she can rhyme, and I've mentioned that in past episodes. I think she doesn't make music for me, and a lot of the stuff that hits pop radio is definitely not for me, and definitely not showcasing her in that aspect. But I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, she can flow.
Yeah, she'll pull off a little slick with here now and then on these little pop songs too, but, you know, it'll be like a line instead of like the whole verse being just whoa, you know. But so I mean, like, now I'm gonna tell you though, straight up, before we start listing off different female MCs and what we like, don't like, favorites and all that, one of the toughest verses I ever heard was from Brat on that
timeout. Yeah.
On that Don't You Hate On Me, on that 1472.
Timeout, man. Because here's the thing. Number one, again, going back to what I was saying, we actually talked about her, and actually, well, we talked about a handful of female rappers, but we talked about her in that specific verse on our very first episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number one. And number two, we do have, you know, as far as our backspin episodes, we had an episode about Funkdafy that got lost. It's one of those painful lost episodes where the audio came out all fucked up, and we just never went back and redid it.
Right.
But that was, we had that one, which is one of the first. They say that's the first album from a female rapper to go platinum, but I could have sworn Queen Latifah's did before that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought that joint with Unity. I thought that shit went.
Yeah, Black Rain.
Black Rain. Yeah, I thought that shit.
I could have sworn it did, but they always credit it to Funkdafy, so I'm gonna have to do my research on that. Right. That's the one they always say it is. So
yeah.
But either way. Yeah, we did an episode about that, and I was just saying, you know, I kind of miss her presence in hip hop. You know, just a rapper who could do the pop songs, but could still bring an underground,
mm-hmm.
and did them both consistently, like right in front of your face. You'd always saw, you know, you saw her on the joints of Mariah Carey, but then you see her on this joint, like what you're about to talk about with Crazy Bone.
Yeah, I mean, whew. I mean, I don't know if you would call that underground, but it was just one of those records that it wasn't a hit record. It was a mainstream record. It was a straight album cut.
I guess that's what I mean. Not really.
Yeah.
She could do the records, but then she'd bring it on, like, you know, some of the more, the lesser known, the deep cuts.
Mm-hmm. And could straight spit, like, the way she did that shit. Like, it was kind of on some... I mean, I guess you can liken it to Big on Notorious Thugs, using a style that you didn't really normally hear from him. But see, the thing about Big's joint was is that he really never used that style before or afterwards. He did it specifically for that one, where I think Brat, you could see kind of different flashes of the way she could mix her rhymes up on other yeah. songs and other verses, but that one she just really went full bore, you know. And then the way she laughed at the end, get the fuck out of here. Like, that laugh was like, I could do this shit all day. Y'all niggas is tripping. Like, I can eat
y'all. You were talking
about
that off air.
Yeah.
We're talking about that. Because honestly, you were the only person I know who really picked up on that, the fact that she did that.
Man.
And, like, what that possibly meant.
Dude, oh, man. That shit was so classic, man. That instantly put her, you know, way up at the top. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're going to laugh. You're going to drop a verse like that and then laugh afterwards.
And then on top of that,
most male MCs don't do that shit. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. That shit was crazy. That's a classic verse of all time. That shit right there.
It is. Yeah. And on top of that, if you take that verse off the song, guess what? You don't have a song.
Yeah, you don't have a song. I mean, don't get me wrong. Busy was cool. I mean, Crazy was cool, but...
It was cool, but that song, you'd have forgotten about it. We wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Right, right, right. Easy. I mean...
That's what I mean by that.
That shit was... Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean... It's like I could talk about it all day, but it's hard to form it into words at the same time, because it was just, man, I mean, she talked about how she can get over on a dude and get somebody killed in the same verse. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Yeah, and then at the same time was talking about other rappers or other chicks in particular, you know, where she was saying, my lyrical content got bitches up in the convent praying for me to be the leader, but that's nonsense.
In the bonds of 74 Aries. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? The 74 Aries, the K-card, dog. The K-card reference. Who would reference a K-card? That shit is ridiculous.
Exactly.
You know. Oh, shit. Yeah,
you study me, but another me can never be sold. Broke the mold. 60644.
Right.
Yeah. God. Man. Killed it.
Well, man, and then what she say at the end? Keep one in the chamber. I don't even remember how she said it.
Keep one in the chamber. Ready for danger when it's time to die.
What's that laugh off? Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, you got to put that back in here, though. I mean, that shit was...
Oh, you got it. Yeah. You got it right here.
Yeah, man. Look, that shit was dope.
Ain't it fucked up that when you work real hard to get some shit and finally make it to the top of shit, then it's a whole gang of motherfuckers that hate that shit and wanna take that shit?
Tell me where the real niggas at, put your bloods in the air. Y'all niggas get fired to this, tell the revolt the mother. Tell me who the thug is in this motherfucker. What you niggas really wanna do, big bones, flowns. A nigga wanna be this, but they gotta be talking. Oh, we be giving what they say, and when I'm in the face, what they say. Oh, nothing, bust up, hit a minute shit anyway. That's how we play, still thugging in the thing. Tank, still the same name, another face. Real, real niggas, that's all I gotta say. You fucking with the real, get bound to get dusted. Really the real ain't shit to be fucked with. Protected by the need to put in cover, then making the trigger figure. The whole block make a nigga close shop, show enough, show stop. Fucking them up with these songs, once popping a shotgun.
We ain't necessary, cause all we want is a little respect. That's all we want. But nigga, you don't feel me crazy, crazy. Maybe insane, and he would change it. Little rip, don't slip the clip until they get wrapped, tap, tap, just like that.
Procrastinate, if niggas wanna be shipping me half a cake, go through whatever drastic measures I have to take. Make a motherfucker masturbate. The hotter I get, the more hate. Some of you hoes is overrated with flow that's outdated. Take them to the rehab and get them reinstated. My lyrical content's another bitch at the convent. Pray for me to be deleted, but that's nonsense. Been a bomb to 74 Aries. I can see how your nigga be looking at me. He wanna get in between the sheets. Leave the wallet and the keys for me. I ain't persuaded easily, but if you spin the cheese for me, nigga, we can fuck free frequently. You study me, but another me could never be so. Wrote the most 60644. When niggas will haul off and hit you with the sold off. Seen plenty motherfuckers fall off. When I finish dropping
and I'm all off on the west side of Chi. I'm riding high, thinking of ways to make it through the maze of the paper chase sliding by. Keep a Luga in the chamber, ready for danger when it's time to die.
But, you know, but there, I mean, there's other ones. I mean, Rod Digger was one of my favorites. Gene Gray.
Rod Digger was nasty, and I will tell you something about, well, I heard an interview with her some years back where she was talking about how she finally got on. Because to me, I mean, she was the chick from the Cowboys joint, yeah. From the Fugees. Right. And at the same time, when I first heard, when I first got that album and I heard that, I didn't realize that was, I thought that was Lauren.
Still Lauren, yeah.
The whole time. But then it's like, wait, she sounds, what is she doing? But then it's like, no, it's Pace One and it's Rod Digger. And she came up through the Outsiders. But what happened is Q-Tip actually had her and, you know, knew she was dope. It just creatively, just with his production, whatever sound he was with at the time, it just really wasn't meshing.
Right.
And instead of letting her just fall by the wayside and saying, hey, screw it, he called up Busta and said, hey, I got this chick. She's dope. I can't do anything with her. Just, it's just not working. But you could make something happen here. And lo and behold.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. And shout out to Q-Tip for that shit. That was some real shit right there. You know what I mean? Because he did. Yeah. It's like you said, he didn't have to do that shit. And if anybody don't know how the Outsiders is, that's a group from Jersey back in the early mid-90s. Her husband, Young Z, he had the song on the 8 Mile soundtrack. If anybody remembers that, that's my nigga for real. but yeah. They were also the group that kind of was the people responsible for really you first getting a good glimpse of Eminem. Because Eminem was riding with them back in his early days. You even hear him shout out Outsiders on different joints of his own solo works back in the early days, too. Back in his, you know, his battle rhyming days, shit like that. But
yeah, until him and Pace fell out, which is a whole other conversation.
You know what?
It's that old, it's that old Jazz old Jay-Z type shit right there. But
who, M and Pace? You really got to you got to put me on that, because I heard very very little general shit, but you got to put me on that later on. But yeah, so
yeah, we'll talk about another episode or you know, off the air or something. Right, but right. Yeah, it just seemed to me, just, you know, and I'm, this is just me going off what I saw and heard from, but it just seemed like that old Jazz old Jay-Z type shit, you know, where it's like, look, man, I shouted you out and everything like that. It's up to you to take the ball and do something with it, man. I can't save you, you know?
Right.
But whatever.
But yo, so never anyway, talking. But another one is Remy Ma, you know, and she's very, it's like, as popular as she is, I think, you know, she's still a little bit underrated as far as her skill goes. I mean, her skill is more displayed now, but the thing about it is that it's always been, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a big Terror Squad fan. I've been a big Pun fan, so that was Big Pun's artist. So when he gave her a whole fucking joint on his second album to herself, as opposed to just, oh, this is my artist, she's gonna be on a few songs here and there, he gave her a whole joint. He just did the hook, and she went in there and just ripped it down. Like, so then, you know, she came in and held her own, actually, and was, you know, sounded dope on the Annie Up remix, you know.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, she was always coming with it, you know. It was just, I guess it took a while for her, I guess it took a while for everybody else to kind of really see it, because by the time, you know, she got to Lean Back, that's when, I guess, that's really, she's starting to get more of a look. Like, she was there, but that Lean Back, I, in my opinion, really kind of put her in position. And then she came with that album. You know what I mean? The album was dope. You know, a lot of people had that album, more so than I expected to. You know, so the Conceited joint was nice. You know, and unfortunately, she went to jail, but she came back and she's still going strong. I mean, she just took out Nicki. I mean, not saying that was, again, you know, Nicki can rhyme. Why she didn't come back or whatever the hell, maybe she got advised not to, or I'm not really sure. But it's not like, again, she was just going up against the Powder Puff. If Nicki wanted to, it could have been an interesting battle, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah,
you know.
Now,
whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, now going to your point about underrated, I think that jail stint really is what killed her momentum, obviously.
With who? Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah, sure.
But, you know, because she only has the one album to her name, you know, and now the Fat Joe collabo record, mm-hmm. you know. So I mean, if you weren't following her, if you weren't following the battles she was doing with Lady Luck, or I don't know, if I don't think it was Smack, it was definitely kind of in the same vein though.
Yeah. You know,
but if you weren't following that or any of your little mixtapes or featured spots, then you missed on a lot of her material. But I mean, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then with the whole Sheether thing, I mean, we kind of started off the year with that. And honestly, that could have shaped up to really be a really good battle. But I don't understand the people saying that Nicki shouldn't respond, because
I mean, that's hip hop.
I just feel like when they're going at you, exactly. You know hip-hop. What I'm saying? So you're claiming to be the queen, and you're saying you'd be the queen, you have to sell records. Well, yeah, but I mean, you got to, you got the title, you got to defend it too.
Yeah, now and if he was an artist like that was
like,
going
it's not like this is some young upstart just talking shit. This is somebody who you was shouting out while she was in jail, and now that she's here, you know, and she's going at you, now you want to be silent, you know?
Yeah,
not cool.
Yeah. You know, that's not hip hop, man. And then...
Yeah. And then by the time she did say something, everybody had already moved on from it.
Yeah.
And it was just so... The response wasn't that good anyway. And then right around the same time, Remy said she wasn't, you know, she wasn't concerned with it anymore. I was like, well... If it was just that easy for you to put it behind you, why I started to begin with?
So well, you know, maybe it was because here's the thing about that though. Okay, maybe it was because of the fact that Nicki didn't really respond in kind, and maybe she felt like, well, oh, fuck, man, if you ain't really gonna bring it, maybe I mean I would lose interest too. Like, dog, if I threw the shot out there, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows it. It's on you. You got the ball, and then you come up the court. You almost get an 8-second violation, and then you throw up an air ball. Like, dog, like, you know, I thought we was going to hoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing. Like, come on, man. You know, this is hip hop. This is what we're supposed to do. It's just like you said. If you claim to be the queen and all this other shit, and somebody comes and challenges your spot, dog, you got to stand on it. It's like UFC champion, they are a boxing champion. You know, if you don't defend your title, they'll take your title from you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to defend the title. If you claim to be the king, you got to defend it. T.I. did. Now he lost in the battle against Ludacris, but he stood up and defended that motherfucker. He battled. You know what I'm saying? I mean, battle, motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, and T.I. still T.I. That shit didn't hit. That shit didn't hurt him.
Still here.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, him and Luda squashed it. So, I mean, it's just like, you got to do it, though, man. You got to swing the sword. You know what I mean? If not, then...
Especially when you have the potential in the first place to do it. I mean, that's how you came up battling. So,
yeah, what's the problem? That's like Eminem coming up battling, and then somebody challenged him. He's like, nah, I'm just going to make these pop records. I don't want to battle. The fuck out of here. What do you mean?
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that was the kind of the weird thing about that, but... You know, but back on track. What was one of your favorite? I really didn't really get into Rod Digga as much, but
go ahead, man. But, I mean, we got all episodes.
Yeah, you know, the thing about her, man, is that and for one, again, people, she was in the Lyricist Lounge. She came from that era, you know. And if what she was saying she was true, she was up there doing this shit pregnant, and not just like 2-3 months pregnant, like 7-8 months. Like, I really shouldn't be probably be on my feet in here in this smoky room with y'all niggas pregnant, you know what I'm saying, and still up there you know, slamming niggas left and right, you know. So
yeah, she had to be, because by the time the album came out, and like it's being recorded in 99 and released in 2000, she has her little daughter on there saying something. So
yeah. It was hilarious too.
Yeah, and she write her own rhymes.
But yo,
and speaking of Lyricist Lounge, yo, she had a joint with Bahamadia on that shit. That'd be okay.
Yeah, shout out to Bahamadia too. I was gonna get to her too, so yeah, well, hold on.
Yeah,
but her album was dope. I mean, she had, you know, Pete Rock production on there. She had I think she had, if I want to say, some Dane Grease shit. I don't remember all the producers on her shit, man, but she had a good, out of the 15, 16 songs, she had a good 9-10 banger on that joint. You know what I mean? Like, straight bangers. And a lot of them was, and a couple of them was like 2-3 in a row. Like, you had like track 2, 3, 4, and 5 that was dope. Then you might skip 6, then 7, 8, 9, 10 was dope. then you more, you might 8, 9 was dope, skip 10, 11, 12, 13 was dope, skip 14, 16, 17 was dope. You know what I mean? So it was just like, and not that the other ones were completely whack, it'd just be on some shit like, you know, that this one was better than the other. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit. So, but the album was dope, man.
Well, let me tell you something. Your boy Knotts was on a whole lot.
Yeah, Knotts did that shit because that, you know, and he also did her whole second album. I forgot what the name of this classic. Yeah, he did that whole second album and started that shit off with a banger too. I mean, and I don't even want to get on. I don't want to get off track talking about Knotts. Knotts is fucking ridiculous, man. Like that dude. Yeah. His Instagram is better than most producers' album credits. Like, really. And when I say that, I'm not joking. I'm literally mean his Instagram page is better than most producers' production credits, like their resume for their career. I mean, like, the shit that he's got that he hasn't put out yet, get the fuck out of here. If anybody buys, like, at least half of the shit that he's put on Instagram... Dudes can create whole albums off that shit. Like, literally. Can create whole albums off it. But, and that's all I'm going to say about it for right now. But nonsense ridiculous. But, yeah, he had a lot of shit on there because he was already doing Busta Rhymes, a lot of Busta Rhymes shit, too, you know. So, he had a lot of joints on different Busta Rhymes albums. So, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, she had a couple from, what's the man's name? Rockwilder.
Yeah, I forgot about.
And to me, to me, this album was really just the perfect storm. I mean, it came at the perfect time in '99 or not '99, no 2000. Just when like a lot of these cats were really hitting their stride. Like Rockwilder had just come out with, we knew about him before because we listened to Redman, but it was the Rockwilder joint off of the Method Man and Red, the Blackout, that really made him a name. You know? And so she got a couple of his joints on there. You got Knotts, who was starting to come up. I mean, we mentioned P-Rock already. She even had Primo on one of them. So, production-wise, it was dope and just right at the peak of, you know, Busta Rhymes' popularity, which, you know, let's face it, I mean, you know, a lot of people were introduced to her through Flip Mode Squad, so it was just a perfect time to strike, and it was, I mean, it's dope. It still holds up today.
Yeah, Megahertz had a joint on there, DJ Scratch. Megahertz had two joints on there.
DJ Scratch, yeah.
Yeah, Scratch, Rockwell, and you're right, Pete Rock, some cat named DJ Shock, and a dude named Mr. Wake did Tight.
DJ Shock. Where do I know that name
from? Oh, Nobody.
Wasn't Shock, wasn't nobody. He part of Rough Riders?
DJ Shock, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know. I do not know. But he did that song, Do the Ladies Run This, in Imperial, the joint that had Flip Mode the Imperial. You know, that shit.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
That Do the Ladies Run This shit with her and Sonya Blade. Sonya Blade would...
And that's the other thing, too. That's the other thing. Oh, my, sorry to cut you off. That's the other thing, too. Even the singles that she was able to put out, you know, Imperial was a little more poppy. Seemed like more like the Busta Rhymes kind of stuff, the Extinction Level Event type shit.
That's why he was on it.
But Breakful, that was like... that was a Rockwilder joint. You know, Tight, which that was their... I think that was the lead single. See, all the singles... They were dope because they were actually kind of both. They were a little bit, they were underground, but they still worked as far as like TV, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So, you know, I even like the name, Dirty Harry. I thought the name was dope, you know, so.
You know what was dope about that too? I mean, it was called Dirty Harriet, but then the very first track, little intro was called Harriet Thugman. I'm like, damn, either one of those would work.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Harriet Thugman. Yeah, this shit was tight. But and her second album is dope. Again, I like the cover on the second album better than the first, though. I don't know if that's a picture of her daughter or just a little girl in general, but you know, putting her hand up with the glasses on, that shit was tight. But
now, do you remember in the early I want to say maybe 2003, and it never came out, it got shelved, but she was supposed to come out with a
Everything's Dirty Harriet Part 2 or something like that. That's what it was gonna be called. It's supposed to have been like 2004, 2005 era.
Yeah, and she put out the single that it was a Party and Bullshit remix, a remake or whatever, and I didn't like that at all.
Oh yeah, she had another one like Make It Hot or some shit. Yeah, the Party and Bullshit, I remember that. 2003, yeah, I remember that shit. Yeah, she had another one in 2005. It was like Make It Hot or some shit. I don't know if she did at the end of trying to promote that shit, but yeah.
Right, so I'm not happy she got shelved, but at the same time, the stuff that she put out really wasn't that. Those weren't to me, that wasn't it. Yeah. So,
and then, you know, what also...
but I don't know what else she had coming.
And then what also kind of... whatchamacallit? Being with Busta, you know, also... It helped and hindered her at the exact same time. It helped because of who Busta he was. He gave her exposure, put on his albums, you know, all this other shit. That helped her. But it also hindered her because it took her so long to be able to be in a position to put out another album. I mean, shit, she had to wait to put the first one out, technically. I mean, she was on Flip Mode a couple years before she got that album going. And then, but it made sense right. for it to be her because, I mean, wouldn't nobody going to listen to a whole Baby Sham album or, you know what I mean? I think maybe Rampage.
Another Rampage album.
Yeah, I think
album.
Rampage put one out, and he had the one song that was all right, but a whole album of him really wasn't going to rock either. It's like, he was cool on singles and shit, and other people's joints.
I know
you
that firsthand. I know from experience.
Yeah,
I had that
that's
album.
What I'm saying. So it was like, you know, and as good as he sounded on fucking Flavor in the Year, I can't fuck with a whole album of Rampage. So it made sense that it was her, but she still had to wait because... Busta would get, you know, put his album out, do all this other shit, and then something happened, then he'd be off the label, then he had to go into the label situation, then the same thing, he had to put his album out, and then, you know, then it would, you know, supposedly would be her, but then again, another label situation would happen, Busta wouldn't like the way it's promoted, dip off the label, and then boom, you know, so.
But that is kind of like just, I mean, yeah, you're right, and this also has a lot to do with just the way the, I guess the whole... Because, you know, these artists owning labels, they were imprints, you know, on bigger labels. So when the imprint bubble burst, you know what I'm saying, to where all these cats had labels, all of a sudden now they don't anymore by like 2000, 2001.
Right.
So that Flip Mode that was under Elektra or whatever, well, he lost the Elektra deal, so went over to Jay. And, you know, so then I don't think they ever put out another anything under that Flip Mode.
Imprint.
Yeah. I don't think they ever did.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think he just.
So yeah, that.
I don't even think he shouts out.
Definitely killed him
anymore. Really, I don't think he's really shouted.
He
out.
Doesn't. His thing is conglomerate tattooed on him unless he got it covered up.
Yeah,
conglomerate. Which she's cool with. I mean, I heard her talk about that too. He's like, you know, Flip Mode Squad. That's, you know, he's got the conglomerate, the Flip Mode Squad. You know, that whole situation with the label and the management. It. Went under, and so we got to go for something new. So I mean, he's thinking it's conglomerate now, so there is no more Flip Mode Squad. So I mean, but she doesn't sound bitter about it.
Man, but so anyway,
but
so
Digga, yeah. Any time you get you can hear some Rod Digga, it's a treat. Mm-hmm. She's dope.
For sure.
It's wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to a sister dope enough to make you holler and scream?
Yo, let me take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high for happy overjoy. Please, with all the beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Slick as me throwing down the sound, totally a yes. Let me state the position. Ladies first, yes?
Yes.
Cause when it's time for loving, it's the woman that gets them strong. Stepping, strutting, moving on, rhyming, cutting, and not forgetting. We are the ones to give birth to the new generation of prophets, cause it's late.
I break into a lyrical freestyle. Grab the mic, look at the crowd and see smiles. Cause they see a woman standing up on her own too. Sloppy slouching is something I won't do. Some think that we can't flow.
Can't flow.
Stereotypes, they got to go.
Got to go.
I'ma mess around and flip the scene into reverse.
With what?
With a little touch of ladies first.
My mind expands throughout the universe. A female rapper with a message to send. The Queen Latifah is a perfect specimen.
My sister, can I get some?
Sure, Moni Love, grab the mic and get dumb.
Yo, praise me not for being simply what I am. Born in L-O-N-D-O and sound American. You dig exactly where I'm coming from. You want righteous rhyming, I'ma give you some. To enable you to age yourself and get paid. And the material that has no meaning, I wish to play. Pay me every bit of your attention. Like mother, like daughter, I would also like to mention. I wish for you to bring me through, to bring me through the rhythm. Of which is now systematically given. Desperately stressing, I'm the daughter of a sister. Who's the mother of a brother, who's the brother of another. Plus one more, all four. Have a job to do, we doing it, respect due. To the mother, who's the root of it. And next up is me, the M-O-N-I-E-L-O-V-E. And I'm first, cause I'm a L-A-D-I-E.
Contact and in fact, the style it gets harder. Cooling on the scene with my European partner. Laying down track after track, waiting for the climax. When I get there, that's when I tax the next man or the next woman. It doesn't make a difference, keep the competition coming. And I recite chapter in verse. The title of this recital is Ladies First. On the mic, the scene is right, the crowd is hype. I expel the whack and those who bite. Why? Cause I'm that type, swaying with beats 45 King style. He wants me to sing, but I'll swing. So meanwhile, a footnote for the opposite sex. Moni, rip the mic, I rock it next. Plex, you never catch me at my worst. You get the drift? It's Ladies First.
Some dumb shit, so I'll be taking another step to relax me.
But I guess at the beginning of the Rob Dicka conversation, we were just talking about the Fugees, you know, fucking Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill, you know. I mean, what can you not say about her? That's an MC's MC right there, you know. She was, her shit, her style was just, she had a cold style, man. She was definitely an assassin if she wanted to be, you know what I mean? I could hear it in her rhyme, man. Like, I don't know if you really wanted to battle Lauryn Hill. Like, it'd be one of those, like, I don't know if I want to battle Andre 3000 either. Like, it's just one of those, I'll stay away from that motherfucker. Just leave that shit alone.
Right. Because they really don't, well, I guess Lauryn probably does a little bit, but you really don't associate those names with battling, but you know what they're capable of lyrically, so it's like, why wouldn't they be able to get me in a battle, you know?
Oh,
it's one of the things you just kind of...
You already know they can.
Well, you tread carefully.
Yeah, it's like... Like, it would be embarrassing, too, yeah. Because the way they do it, they have a way of doing it in, like, such a matter-of-factly conversational way that it's almost like it's just, like, snapping on you in front of motherfuckers and... Yeah, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. And then, you know, go ahead.
I'll take it a step further, man. The Miseducation album, which, you know, it's it has some raps on it, but she really doesn't rap a lot. Here's the thing about that. That whole album was about Clef. And think about how many years it took for people to realize that.
Yeah.
Or for people to actually come out and say, you know, that's what it was about. Like, I didn't... went right over my head, you know. It was that subtle and veiled, you know what I'm saying? But then you go back and listen to it, you're like, damn, why didn't I catch this? Well, because you didn't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's crazy, man. It was like, damn, over that dude?
I mean, just
like,
starting from Lost One all the way down, you know?
Like, that dude, though? Like, I never saw that. Like, I don't understand how. I guess it's in proximity, but...
Like, yeah. Shit.
Cause, nah, that was weird. But anyway,
I mean, that
album was ridiculous though. So, you know, that album
was ridiculous, and the Fugees album. I mean, you can still listen to that Fugees album that today.
Yeah,
it is still and that's why. I mean, even though she hasn't rapped in eons, that's why that album alone is why people still put her up there, because like take. Anyone versus off there. I mean, there's still a lot of chicks today who ain't touching that.
Nah, yeah. Hell yeah.
You know,
it's not even a lot of chicks that can get on that Fugila beat and get off. Like, you know, that beat, like, just her voice alone and her style, that was like damn near. I don't know if it was made for her, but it ended up. She ended up fitting that pocket so sweet. It was.
I remember hearing that album, that song for the first time, and early 96, man, I was listening to Magic 108, and they kept playing it, and it was so weird, just because that, you know, that style of music, that style of beat really just, you know, it was different for the time, and so it took me a few listens of it to finally catch it and be like, okay, this is kind of dope, but, I mean, she definitely stood out on that.
Yeah, I mean, you had...
Like, who even is this? I don't even know who it was, and I didn't know until until later that, you know, until actually seeing the movie again. On like HBO or something like that, because I've seen it before, was as the same chick from Sister Act 2.
Right.
I'm like, oh, well, shit.
Hell yeah. You know, acting chops, you know, like, that's the other thing. Like, would it, you know, she could have jumped over into acting and been on some other shit too and been murderous with it, you know. She was good in fucking Sister Act, you know. For it to be her, I don't know if that was her first role, but her first star, you know, major role in a major film, that was, you know, she did a good job. But, shit, back at it. Shit, we can go a couple of different directions here, man. I could say the Lady of Rage or Jean Grey, you know, either one of them. I mean, you got Mia X. You got.
Well, let's talk about Jean real quick since you brought her up already.
Right.
You know, honestly, I wanted her, and for a while she was. I guess the mid 2000s for a while, you know, that was among like one of my top 10 MCs at the time. And I really wanted her to be the next one, you know. I'm still not quite sure about what happened as far as her output, or just, you know, now she does like comedy and some other stuff, you know, she's kind of branched out in other things, still hip hop, but she, you know, she doesn't put out as much material anymore. And just, I don't know. But it seemed like she was poised to be the next one, and then just something happened and never, it never took place.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like label situations, because wasn't she on like Blackground with Under Talib for a minute?
That was later. She was a blacksmith or whatever blacksmith, it was. But yeah. She was with Baby Grand,
mm-hmm.
which is where she put out like some of her actual like albums. But she was I remember she was throwing out mixtapes and EPs here and there.
Her last EP.
And just I mean she was. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, but it's few and far between now. Whereas before, I mean, she was really gunning. I really thought she was gonna be the next. Like really the next shit. And I'm not saying this is not dope, because it is, but just, you know, up there with like, you know, the Rod Diggers and the Lawrence and something like that. I really thought she was gonna be there.
Yeah.
And personally, she was one of my favorites.
Yeah, she, me too, you know.
I was fucking like just proselytizing for this chick. Like, yo, have you never heard of Jean Grey? Or like, I knew a guy who like, well, you know, I know a lot of people, but there's one person in particular, you know, who's into hip hop. He's like, I can't even fuck with a female MC because this, that, and the other. Like, you never heard of Jean Grey? Nah, I never heard of it. I'd be riding in the car bumping her shit, you know, playing it. Or, like, forcing it into his head, you know, saying, look, this is dope. What the fuck? What are you not hearing? You know? Message boards. Back when he's posting on message boards, you know, posts about Jean Grey, you know what I'm saying? Mix CDs. I had a couple friends who were like, you know, make me a mix. You know, I always throw some Jean Grey in there. You know what I mean?
I liked her Attack of Attacking.
I mean, I loved her.
Yeah, I liked the Attack of Attacking things. That bootleg of the bootleg EP where it had that like that 45-minute hidden mix track of her jumping on different beats.
Yeah.
And killing them from like Jay-Z beats to M beats to Nas beats to, you know, a couple of, I guess, more unknown or original beats towards the end of it. But the last song at the end of that joint was the dopest one, man. Like, I don't even remember. I don't know who did that beat, but it was her and some other cat, I guess, that was in her crew, man. But she set it off something serious, man. I was like, God damn, this chick is just
fucking. Oh, was that the one with,
it was the very last.
Was that a Pony?
Maybe so, but it was the very last song on the hidden track. Because, you know, the bootleg of the EP was only 6 songs long, but, like, and that 6th song, when it ended, it would fade out, and then like maybe like 35 seconds or so later, if you didn't fuck with it, it would fade in back in, you know, and she jumped, and it went for another 45 minutes of her jumping on popular beats at the time, you know. Right. So she jumped on Nas's Purple, you know, she jumped on one of Jay-Z's Blueprint beats, she jumped on she jumped on what was that song with MOP on the Blueprint?
And then you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, she jumped on that. She jumped on a bunch of other shit. One of M's beats. She jumped on Renegade. She jumped on a few other things. But towards the end, it went from known popular beats to more beats from like lesser known producers. You know what I mean? And
right.
The very last one, it was like like I said, it was like 45 minutes. It was probably like minute 42 and a half, 43, somewhere in there. That last joint was just like, she really just, it was like her version of, I would say her version of Brat's fucking 1472 verse. Like, she really, I'm like, God damn. I mean, like, I knew she could spit, but it was just like, damn, she murdered that shit. Like, that was some super rewind worthy shit. Like, and it was the hidden track, so you couldn't like back it up. You had to really rewind, search it back, you know. So that means
exactly,
make sure you didn't fucking, you know, accidentally go back to the start of the song again. But Gene was dope. And then the Genius album with Knife Wonder, and with, you know, Knife being my damn near, you know, favorite producer of all time. I mean, that was fucking match made in heaven for me, you know. And see,
and I'll tell you about that Genius album, man. That was supposed to have been out like 2004.
Yeah.
It was something like that. And then just Baby Grand, something happened with it. I don't know the story behind it, but I know it got shelved for the longest. It didn't finally come out until like 2008 or 2009. Like officially.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, because I thought it was never going to come out, because that's how I was about albums like that. I wouldn't go download your shit before it came out.
Right.
You know, I always went and bought your shit. And so, I've been waiting for it. And then finally, it said that, you know, it wasn't coming out. It was indefinitely shelved. So then I went on there and downloaded it. And I had little, you know, burnt CD of it, and it was the shit, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, some years later, I got a legit copy of it finally because it came out. But
and they had the four different covers and shit like that. Like,
yeah, I got the Raekwon one.
Right.
Yeah, I forget what else do they have. What other covers do they have?
They had.
That's the one I have, and that's the only one I can remember right now.
Let me see. I think I still got the picture. I thought that. I'm just getting ready to say the same one, but that was the Raekwon.
She had an album called This Week, in 04, which was actually supposed to be out. Genius was supposed to come out before that, but then you got This Week because again, Genius got it got shelved. But so many fucking beats on there. I don't even know who was producing that, but just
on what
it was. This Week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one was pretty good, too. Yeah, and she had that one song that she ended up doing with Talib Kweli, but it was also her on her, she did it with her crew on her album, but she also did a version of it with Talib on his album.
Yeah, it's called Style Wars.
Yeah, yeah. One
version had Talib, the other version had Block McCloud, you know, boy, on there. And if you guys played, if you had PlayStation 2, if you had that Midnight Club, or Xbox, the original Xbox, Midnight Club 3, you either heard her songs or you heard a lot of her beats on there because they used a ton of that shit.
Yeah. Oh, the other covers was the Public Enemy cover.
The Nation of Millions.
Right. They had the Black Sheep cover. Remember that shit?
Okay.
And then they had the Dos FX cover.
That's right. That's the other one I remember.
Right.
But yeah, I have the It's Only Built for Cuban Links cover.
Yeah. I had the Public Enemy cover. The one I had.
Okay.
But, I don't know where. I don't even know where. It's probably in that fucking tub full of CDs I got. But I wanted to try to grab all four of them, but they didn't. They always did where I went. They only had the fucking Public Enemy joint. So, but anyway. But what other MCs were in your radar?
Yeah, I was gonna segue right into Apani B, Fly MC, who was from the Polyrhythmatics. That was with Shabam Sadiq, Mr. Complex, who was Pharoah Monch's brother, and DJ Spinner. And that was in the late 90s.
Right.
And she did solo work too. I remember hearing her on, she was on the High and Mighty shit. She had like little singles here and there. I guess after Polyrhythm had kind of, because they were a group, but they're, well, I say they're more of a collective, you know, saying they would come together and do stuff, but they weren't like, they were more fluid than that, you know, saying they weren't rigidly a group. So, but she did a lot of joints with Jean Grey, and in fact, DJ Spinner has a compilation as a joint with them on it. And I can't remember what the hell was the name of that song. I'll think about it. But before that, also, the Beat Miners album, they got a joint together called "Shut the Fuck Up," where they sample MC Light, or, you know, the "shut the fuck up," but then they have, you know, it's totally different beat, you know, new Beat Miner shit, and they go back and forth on there. She got so much stuff out there. Oh, Victor Vaughn, if you guys remember the song called "Let Me Watch," that's the chick he's going back and forth with on there. And to me, I always saw Apani, she was kind of like the forerunner to, even though they're contemporaries in that way, she's kind of the forerunner to Jean Grey. Like, she was, it's like Jean Grey, like, was like, she reminded me a lot of Apani, but just a little bit sharper.
Yeah.
You know, Apani, she's more like the straight spitter. Jean Grey was a little more versatile than just that.
Right. No, I hear you.
But, and you heard Apani actually on the, she had a lot of interludes on the Attack of the Attack.
Right. Okay.
Like, that's who she's talking to on the phone.
Hey man, who
but then speaking of Polyrhythm,
oh no, go ahead.
Speaking of Polyrhythmatics, see, she left when they wanted to reform and do another album, she wasn't, you know, she didn't want to do it. She had other shit going on, or just whatever the case may have been. So they went and found Ty Phoenix, who, she's another one I thought would be kind of, would kind of make more noise as far as underground MCs. I thought she would have made more noise, and she's still around. She does her thing, you know, but she was really dope, but she's kind of like Apani, but a little more fierce. You know, Apani has more of a laid back flow, still battle you and kill you, but Ty is more like somewhere between a Pawnee and a Rod Digger. In terms of like kind of the way she writes and the way she delivers a rhyme.
Right.
And she was spitting fire on there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like both of those, honestly, both of those Polyrhythmatics albums, they're worth it for the female rapper on there, for the female in the crew. Because, I mean, Pawnee's verses are just so nasty. Ty Phoenix is disgusting. just nasty on there. She put out an album too in 2008. I can't remember the name of it, but I do have it. I would have to see it. But, and it's real heavy. It's real heavy battle rhyme type stuff. Right. So, if you like that sort of thing, there it is. You're not going to get a whole lot more than that. A little bit, but not so much. Her strength is that type of writing. So, there's that. But, yeah, because, I mean, Mr. Complex, to me, he's serviceable, but he's really nothing to speak of. Shabam Sadiq, I used to always hate, but he's gotten... a couple years ago, he put out an album called Keepers of the Lost Art, and all of a sudden, he's just... He killed that shit. I'm like, damn, I'm surprised, because... Usually you are the weak link in your shit. No offense, I'm just saying, you know, he always seemed like the, you know, he did the joint with Pharaoh, you know, of course Pharaoh's gonna kill him on that. And in the group, I mean, I just thought he was just okay. Well, and so yeah, I mean, honestly, both of those albums, the Rhyme Related and Break Glass, if you would have just had DJ Spinner, of course he's the producer DJ on that shit. If you just had him and Ty or him and Apani, you would have a whole album right there and I'd have been just fine.
Yeah.
What were you about to say though?
I kind of forgot, man. I was listening to what you were saying. It'll pop back in. But you know how it always goes. But But, you know, I can't have a female MC episode and not shout out Rhapsody. One of my current favorites.
Fuck yeah.
One of my current favorites. I've been a fan of hers since, I guess it was like, I don't know if it was somewhere, I guess it was 2009, 2010. I don't remember how I even heard of her. But she had this tape out at the time, Return of the B-Girl. And I was like, damn, she's actually, you know, pretty cool. But back then, she still kind of had that a more of a typical underground female MC flow, you know, where she sounded more like... what was the actual Proof? That other group that was on JAMA, she kind of delivered her rhymes like them at first.
Oh, the actual Proof.
Enigma and Sundown. Yeah, shout outs to them. But as she went on, because she was with another group first, Coolie High or whatever, shout outs to them too. But then as she kind of.
Coolie High was cool.
Yeah. As she kind of progressed, she, you know, she had the Thank Her Now shit, which is kind of her playoff, I guess, Drake shit at the time. That was another dope little mixtape. She came with the idea of the Beautiful album, which is a good album. For Everything, I missed that tape for some reason. That one got by me. But I got back on the She Got Game. That one was banging. Eric G had some super bangers on there that she killed.
Yeah.
So the Black Mamba EP, the Beauty and the Beast EP. Now this last one, Crown. Crown is nasty. If anybody hasn't heard Crown yet, go to Spotify. Go to your, you know, Google Play, whatever the fuck, even YouTube. Crown is awesome. You know, I think that's probably her best EP, even though I did like Beauty and the Beast too, but I think that Crown is...
I was gonna say I like Beauty and the Beast a little more than Crown.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good, so I mean it just depends on, you know, tomato tomato, I guess, you know. But yeah, I kind of like Crown a little bit better, you know what I mean? It just, the beats on there where I'm at beat wise right now, that shit's fitting, you know. So I'm banging that one. But she's consistently getting better. Now her style is different than what it was. It's like the difference between the way she rhymes now, her delivery and her inflections, her actual voice is like almost kind of the difference between M back in the day and now.
Right. He was almost rhyming like this back in the day, yo.
You know, and now I'm serious, you know, like on the Get You Mad type shit and, you know, early Bad Mirrors Evil and Infinite type shit, it was just like, you know. But
he ain't that really Right. They,
yeah.
The real nasal voice. When I go out, I'm going to go out shooting. Oh, I don't mean in the club. I mean when I go out. Or he said, I don't mean in the park. I mean when I go out to the club, stupid. Or whatever that verse was. You know what I'm saying? But
speaking of that verse, it was nasty. That shit on that fucking, that shit. What was it? Shit in Amityville or whatever. But anyway, I'm getting off track. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no. So she, her style, I just... I only even got on that just to compare the difference in her style where you see the growth, like just how you saw in M's growth and his style change. You can see that in hers too, the same way, over the last, what, I guess it's been like 7 years now. So,
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, big time shit. You know what I'm saying? She got the look from Dre, the shout from Dre. So, you know, I mean, she's definitely there. So if you haven't heard any of her shit, I mean, most, if not all of it is on Spotify, but like I said, if you use Google Play or whatever, you know, she's accessible. You know, check her out, because if you haven't already, man, she's definitely one you want to have in a rotation. So
yeah, man. And I can't remember, I'm trying to remember when the first time it was that I heard Rhapsody, and I can't put my finger on it, but I know She's Got Game was the first one I actually picked up,
right? Yeah. So
yeah. Oh, and by the way, that Ty Phoenix album—I kept wanting to call it Titanium, but that's one of the tracks. Yeah, that's one of the tracks that's called that, Titanium. Right. But the album's actually called Half Woman, Half Amazing.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely go back and give that another spin. So yeah. If y'all check that shit out too, you know what I'm saying, educate yourselves in this ill hip hop.
Yes, sir.
Mia X, can't not mention her.
You know. Yeah, one of the only, besides, you know, Mia X and his Mac, you know, as far as No Limit goes, I think the only ones who knew how to rap for real.
Yeah, I gotta put Fiend on that list too. I mean, you may not like this style at the time, but Fiend was actually dope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that one.
But yeah, and she was always coming with it, man. And even how she came on certain tracks, like on that Soldier's joint on C-Murder's album, the way she came on the track right behind Mac, like, because, yeah, it's like you said, what people don't know about Mac was locked up, or he is locked up still, but he came out with two albums on No Limit prior to it, but he was dope to the point where he was in a bidding war before siding with No Limit. Like, he was between, like, Def Jam, No Limit, and a couple of other labels. They were in a straight bidding war for him. P had to really, you know, get it in to get Mac, you know.
And I believe he's got some tracks on Chopper City too, like on the old BG, like featured on there.
Because he was close to signing with Def Jam, so you know, if you can imagine. But he was just nasty, you know. He killed everything that he was on, you know, especially on those fucking you know, posse cuts, man. And his last four bars on that, he was kind of just going cool the first 12, and them last four, he really just kicked it into high gear and, you know, kind of went double time a little bit, and then she comes in right behind him. She kind of, it was almost a hesitation, like a pump fake, and then she's like, I'm still on hard times, trying to pay the bills with rhymes, and then the beat chain kind of like stopped for a second before it came back in. Man, her voice, her delivery, I mean, and then she had that tag, the biggest mama. I mean, get the fuck out of here. She was classic, dog. Like, and she wrote her own rhymes, and the shit was nasty. She threw darts. She had two dope albums, man. Unladylike and Mama Drama. Yeah, but Mama Drama was first. She actually had an album before that, but I'm just saying.
Unladylike was first. Mama Drama was the last one.
No, you're right. I'm thinking of the cover. You're right.
Because one looked like,
because the Mama Drama was the one that had the darker cover, where she had to like look like she was in a picture or some shit, and in the Unladylike she was sitting on the desk with the old style No Limit Pick and Pixel covers and shit. She was had her feet up on the desk or whatever. Yeah, all right, you're right. So yeah, but man, she and that Unladylike was ridiculous. You know, back in the day, dog, when I had that truck, and you know, I had that system in that truck, man. So you know, back in the day when everybody had systems, some fool rolled up on me and Mike. We was in the truck. Fool rolled up on me and Mike at the light and had a nerve to turn up his motherfucking stereo to try to, like, you know, show he got a system and shit. Mike turned to me and said, man, yo, Jeff, throw on that Mia X. Like, we used Mia X's fucking Soldier song to blow this fool out the water at the light, dog. Like, man, as soon as her shit came on, boom, boom. Man, that This dude turned his shit down and sped off at the light. I didn't even move. I was just like, yeah, you better dip out, dog. Like, oh man. But just the fact that we used her shit, and that was the first thing he came to his mind. He said, Jeff, throwing that Mia X. Yeah, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, uh-huh. And I had the disc changer just. Yeah, it was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Mia X, man. Classic MC.
Hell yeah.
But
she never put anything out after that, though, after that mama drama. Was it just...
She tried. She put out a couple singles a few... Nah, she put out... She tried to come back out. She put out a couple singles. Even had a video somewhere in, like, I want to say in the 2010-ish area. But I guess maybe either said fuck it or it didn't work. Not really sure. But she tried. Yeah, she tried to come back. And I wish it would have worked because she definitely... She still had gas in the tank for sure. You know what I'm saying? I believe she still could rock. You know, if she was to show up on a song now, you know what I mean? Or her and Lady and Rage to get on a song? Woo-wee! You believe that?
You brought her up before. Kind of, we were just rattling off names. But let's go to her then, man. Let's go to Lady and Rage.
Man. Another murderous assassin. Man, she's
another one who had her shit. She,
go ahead.
She never really got off the ground, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because after that one album.
Her album was supposed to have been out around the time of that. Well, because around the time Afro Puffs came out off the, was that Above the Rim or was that?
I don't know, but that ended up being the single on her album. Soundtrack. She had an album now.
Well, she did, but remember the album didn't come out till like 97.
True.
Because she was supposed to have been had something out. God, what? Ah, it's bugging me now, man. I'm going to have to go check the internet Bible here, man. But, she was supposed to drop and then just whatever the fuck happened. I don't know. Because Afro Puffs was hot.
Afro Puffs was the shit. I mean, the album was cool. Necessary Roughness was cool. She had, you know, she had a couple of cool joints. She had Pac on one, you know, Big Bad Lady, you know, Rough, Rugged, and Raw was dope. You know what I'm saying? The Get With The Wickedness remix was cool to me. You know, so Microphone Punk Cock, I like, you know, she had the two, yeah, some shit, and Microphone Punk Cock was premiere joints, and those was dope, so, you know.
Yeah, this Necessary Roughness, this came out in 97. Yeah. Back in, like, 94, 95, she was supposed to put out that, an album was called Eargasm, and it never came out. That was supposed to be, like, your lead, you know, yeah, Afro Puffs was supposed to be the lead into that, you know, having been on that soundtrack or whatever. And then she had a whole album like ready to go, and then for whatever reason it didn't happen.
Right, okay.
And then Death Row.
And here's a couple of little tidbits. Easy Mo B even had a joint on the Rage album, dog. He did the intro. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, I don't know if this is the same dude or not, so don't quote this as true, but I'm looking at the producer list and it says Kenny Parker. He was the producer on Super Supreme. Is that Kenny Parker, what? As in KRS's brother, Kenny Parker?
That's the only Kenny Parker
right,
I know.
That's what I'm saying. And wasn't Kenny Parker kind of a behind-the-scenes dude anyway with Chris? I don't know if he was producing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering. That's the same.
I'm wondering. That's pretty interesting. I'm going to have to really look into that. But, so, you know, interesting tidbits about Rage's album right there. I just thought I'd throw out. But her...
Yeah, I pulled it up, by the way, right here, though, man. Mm-hmm. Her solo album was originally called Eargasm, was continually pushed back. It was meant to have been the next album on Death Row after The Chronic, and then after Doggy Style, but this just never came out, you know what I'm saying? So they just kept pushing it back for whatever the fuck reason.
Right.
And, yeah, and you're right. So it comes out in 97 under the name Necessary Roughness, so there it is.
Yeah, and you're right. Whatchamacallit? Afro Puzzles in the Above the Rim soundtrack.
Above the Rim, okay.
Yeah. But I didn't even know she fucked with Chubb Rock back in 91 too.
I didn't either. I was just seeing that too. In L.A. Posse?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I didn't know any of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, The resume is strong, you
know? So
but I mean, but it's not surprising, because I mean, like, she had a couple songs on when Snoop was doing them, the mixtapes, Welcome to the Church and all that shit. She had a couple of single joints on there that was banging, which I think Premier did a beat on that too. When she murdered Snoop on that Batman and Robin joint on his album.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, she left him in the dust on that shit. And then she actually kind of murdered Ren and Cube on that other joint on Snoop album that what was that shit called? It was the album Paid the Cost to Be the Boss. And Cube did the hook. But it was her, Snoop, and Ren. And she blasted them fools. So I was like, it was on some pun shit. I'm just killing everybody on the track. Like,
yep.
She murdered them, dude. I mean, her skill level is just, oh, man. And the way she was making the references on the Batman and Robin track, too, you know, I mean, the Detective Van Adams line. I mean, yeah, she's definitely upper echelon when it comes to lyrical skill, dog. She's an MC's MC. Again, I said that about a couple others, but she's just in that group. You know, I gotta put her in too. That's why I say I can't make this episode without mentioning her, along with Rhapsody, because I'm telling you, you know, I don't know if I want to get in battle with Rage either. You know,
nah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't do it. Eve, and she's another one. You know what I'm saying? Who was just, you know, she had the fire for a minute. I don't really know why. They kind of let her fade off, and she ended up came back with the cool song with her and Gwen Stefani, the Blow Your Mind shit. That was cool. You know, she was able to kind of do both, where she was able to show she could have a hit, you know, and because that was more of a chilled record, you know, and then still kind of, you know, handle her own, just spitting with, you know, Rough Riders and whatnot. But I just, you know, I felt like she had more in the tank, you know.
I do too.
The hit record syndrome kind of faded her out, though, I think, you know, trying to keep coming with them hits.
I guess so, man. Because I think she's one of those, because I was talking about Brad earlier. See, Brad is one of those who could do the hit records but could still bring it on, mm-hmm. you know, on another level. I think Eve kind of just, you know, just got stuck doing the hits.
Yeah.
to the female MCs. Give me a reason to continue and breeze through, like crew in the trees do. Fam, treat your love too, but understand it's for the ladies. Jump back into the 80s, they used to play these songs them all night long. Taping classics full of magic, please no static. I'm an addict, gotta have it. In Rap City, Chris Thomas satin. Watched it, just blushed it, but I go with it. Who's fit it? Prolific, stay gifted. Album drop, go and get it. Tell a friend that she's so sick with it. It hurts to relive it, got too much to live it. Another way, another day, I'll change and say something else. She's something else, it's Rita J. You hanging on, you wanting more. Rita J got much in store, stock is full. Put the bull, what you all been waiting for? Say my name, say it twice. PR's the game, with Mike Device. Some free advice, get out the game. You lame and I'm nice, I'm trained and you shice. Complain, pay the price, take that up with Jesus Christ. I'm doing my thing, like seven on the dice. I examine my brethren, and it's life, get to heaven.
Get to heaven. Just don't stop. My body, yada, yada, D-Rocks. This love for hip-hop I got just won't stop.
Starry eye youth, blinded by the city lights. Men in tights by the likes of a grown man's perception. Or maybe chose to position his affection on erections, the same direction. Still reflecting on a young girl's complexion. Where's perfection in the videos and city hoes collecting dough? I seen it all before, protecting the mind is murder. Catch me further past the interval of space. Avid learner, keep it pace. Met a mother in the race till my speed accelerates. This world is full of hate, but I'm keeping love strong. Cause all along you had it all. Slip and fall, you stand tall. Accept your actions, perhaps then you win again. She's only 10, listening to hooligans who paved the way. Shout and say, only to be cool again. But fooling themselves, I tell tales so the younger prevails. Out the jail of our brain cells, limited to fail. Let by settlers who raise hell, who praise hell and sex sales. So what you selling still prevailing out the ghetto heaven. They spitting rhymes and still be selling the servants. Still curving the verbs and pushing suburbans. And still be learning and money earning like Mount Vernon. Peace to have Z. And what they do, I see it too. They know it too, it ain't the truth. It's up to you, gotta do what you gotta do. Step consequences for them laws be playing you. Them flaws betraying you, paranoid available. Situation debatable, deflatable emotions. Demoted the promotion, on my level documented. Signing off this path and lived it, I'm merely privileged.
Snatch that mic, so whack niggas and smoke them like fat bags of chronic. Smack a nigga backhanded and rock them.
You better watch.
your next 8x10, be on the back of a milk carton.
Nigga, part of my fist and wrist flipping your face, twisting your teeth, hemming your daughter on rocket asleep. It's so wrong.
Damn, Gene.
But damn, I hate y'all. Pulling cards like bras and spit chicks at parades. Spit blood from the stage, it ain't complicated. Contemplated murking y'all, but the consequences outweighed it. Stuff your balls in small places. Nah, cause your flows just sound castrated.
Hold, pass, flip, catch, empty, reload, rip, dash, sick, move, spit, fire, bounce on it, track, then split.
Tipsy, gray dripping tracks like liquor made and shit on you to leave your grill brick face.
Underpaid, almost famous, underrated rap hater. Fuck commercial crooners, sappy crap song makers.
Marked like the whiskey Gene used to clean the wounds I inflicted. I rhyme long time like the word Poughkeepsie. Roll out like rich kids' dough, long flow, stay on tight like small condoms. Check stats, I'm top notch and been nice, tight with pens like Chinese and bright shit.
Stinking pricks need to learn, don't come around half assing. I'm liable to blackout like Washington Heights. Start spazzing, so tragic, the way I had to smash his whole style up. Leave girls dented like Carl Pollard. No starstruck, goofy house niggas like Snoopy. You heard the skills and the voice, even if you never know me.
Hold, pass, flip, catch, empty, reload, rip, dash, stick, move, spitfire, bounce on the track, then split. Ayo, hold, pass, flip, catch, empty, reload, rip, dash, stick, move, spitfire, bounce on the track, then split.
Through the phony and
to be continued. Dot, dot, dot.
Just chill till the next episode.